Okay, let's see. We're up to on page Ayin Gimel. We're probably not going to get more past this one page today. Ayin Gimel. On the very top, the top line where it says Taharas Yadayim. We're now really into the halacha. We finally passed, I think, a lot of the Musar of the Sefer Chasidim. And now we're going to go full-fledged into halacha. It's very interesting, his take on halacha. You have to remember, the Sefer Chasidim is one of the earliest halacha svarim. It's a halacha sefer. And this was written, like I said, it came 800 years ago. This is before the Shulchan Aruch, before the Torah, before all of the various halacha. It's not before the Rambam, but the Ramchal before the Ramchal. And this is it's not before the Rambam. The Rambam really did something different, similar but different. But it's very unique, and he has definitely a different approach. Okay, here we go. The top of page Ayin Gimel, where it says to Horas Hayu. We learned last week that there are five conditions a person needs to fulfill before he can begin to daven. Okay, there were five. The condition number one was the first of the five conditions was to Horas Yodayim. A person must wash Netilas Yodayim. And here he now elaborates. What is condition number one? Taras Yadayim Ketzad. Rechetz Yodav B'mayim Ad Mokim Aperek Hayad. Lizroya. Until where do you wash your hands? Until the joint, until the wrist. That is where a person must in the Tilas Yodayim. My boy said to me, very careful, when you wash the Tilas Yodayim, you probably don't realize that the bottom part of your hand does not get wet. Does not get wet. Try it. Next time you wash the Tilas Yodayim, when you eat bread, when you wash,
so that's why you're turning your hand.
That's why you should turn it to make sure it gets wet. Okay, you'll notice at the bottom of your hand, if you just wash your hand casually with a lot of water, after you take your hand away from the water, before you dry it, look at the bottom of your hand. You will notice more often than not, the bottom of your hand did not get wet at all. And if it did not get wet and all, there's a serious halachic question if you have even fulfilled. It could be a brachal of atala to recite Asher Kedushot B'mitzvah Savitzvah Al Netilas Yodayim. It's not so simple, especially if the finger down the bottom did not get wet. So when the person washes Netilas Yodayim, to do it lehalacha, to be meticulous in the mitzvah, to turn your hand as you wash, to get into the habit of turning your hand as far as you can, as you pour the water on your hand, to ensure that the water gets on the bottom of your hand. That's a lechatchila. That's the tradition. That is the takonas chazal. This is in our Torah. There's no such thing as netilas yodayim. There's kiddush yodayim viraglayim. Okay, the kohanim before they did the avodah, they have to mimekadesh yodayim viraglayim from the kior. And that's the Daf Yomi. Yesterday's Daf Yomi, when in the Beis HaMikdash, if a person went to the Beis HaKisei, if he went for Gedolim, okay, Gedolim means, everyone knows, the Beis HaKisei is Gedolim and Ketanim. In the Beis HaMikdash, if a person went to the Beis HaKisei for Gedolim, then he has to go to Mikvah. He's not allowed to proceed and do the Avodah until he immerses his entire body in the Mikvah. If a person goes for what we call kitanim, he has to re-sanctify his hands from the kior. The kior had special water that was drawn today, on this day, and did not stay overnight. And the kior is sanctified as a kli sharis, holy water. It's not your tap water. Tap water is not does not suffice for kiddush yodayim raglayim for kohanim to do the avodah.
Like mikvah water?
It is mikvah water. It comes out of the ground. Well, right now it's a new utensil. Does it have to be? I don't think so. It can go through pipes. There's no halach of mikvah on that water. The water has to be taken from a natural source, from the shiloyach, and it's in the kiyar, which is a kli shores. It's holy, which automatically gives it sanctity, and therefore the water will expire with nightfall. When the stars come out, the water in this kli is pasul. It cannot be used tomorrow to sanctify. Yes, every single day it had to be refilled.
The source has to be almost like a mikvah.
Yes, there was a stream which a stream which went through the Azara, and they filled up the water from that stream daily. And the water expires when the stars come out, and it has to be refilled the next day. That is the only biblical source for netilah, for washing your hands. And not only do you have to wash your hands, you have to wash your feet as well. Hands and feet go together.
I thought it was honest that you're supposed to wash only your knuckles.
Because you're not allowed to wash at all, correct. On a tainis, on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're only supposed to wash until the knuckles. Me'ikar hadin, the takana of the chazal, is only until the knuckles. But l'chatchila, when there is no prohibition to wash, you go all the way until your wrist. That's l'chatchila until the wrist, b'diavad until the knuckles. So a person should do b'shefa, should do with abundance. The Gemara says that a person, it's a segula, if a person washes his hands with a shefa, with an abundance of water, to be meticulous in the midst of the tilas yodayim, he is rewarded with, it says, there's a lot of very, with what?
Alatil time is ani, that you won't become an ani.
Person will not become poor. Bracha, a segula, that you won't become poor. It doesn't say you'll become rich, but you won't be subject to the humiliation of poverty. You remind me when the parable, I told you this list, the parable, I was sitting in a shul and there was the Rosh Kollel who pays all of his yungalite, and they were making litzanis about the parable for $1 billion, half $1 billion after taxes. So he was laughing, he says, Rabbi Yisrael, I'll tell you one thing. If I win the parable, you won't get less. I'm not telling you I'm going to give you all a raise. I'm not going to go that far, but at least I guarantee you're not going to lose.
I saw this morning Michael Bloomberg gave $1.8 billion
John Hopkins. For what?
What?
For what?
Scholarship.
Okay.
So can you imagine if we have
$1 billion. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Can you imagine how much that would be if all the issues got
there? It's a real shame. It's very sad. I mean,
he gives there to Israel. He gives.
But you don't hear him giving $1.8 billion.
That's a lot of money.
To his, he's Jewish. His mother was his mother, I'm sure, is probably, his great-grandparents are probably from Shemitah or Mitzvah. It's real sad. He gives. He does give. No, listen, he does give. He gives a lot of money. No one's coming to deny, but it's
Sorry, $1.8 billion.
You know, I have a friend. You don't believe me. He's getting married. This Wednesday, he's getting married this Wednesday. He works for someone. He's like a secretary almost, who is very, very, very successful. And he was invited to participate in a meeting in Los Angeles, where the wealthiest people of the world of America, even the world, were present. The bank wanted them to invest in some type of invest in something. The person who he worked for is involved in that technology, so he was there, and this person is getting married this Wednesday. He works for him, so he was the only person he took with him, and it was I think only 100 people were at this meeting, and the bank wined and dined these people. Bloomberg was there, Michael Bloomberg was there. And everyone there was like a multi billionaire, and he told me what was going on there, what they were serving and what they were doing, whatever you can imagine in your mind, it was 100 times more than that. And what was so funny is this guy was getting married Wednesday night. He's like a real bentoyer. He looks like a guy right out of Lakewood, with a white shirt and a dark jacket, and. His boss is not like that. His boss has different like look, but he really loves him, the one who's getting married, and he takes him with him all the time. And they're sitting there at this event, and he told me 70% of the people there were Jewish, totally not from, and they were the only ones, they ordered kosher meals. So they're serving everyone there, you name it, And the waiters come out. Now, if this, everyone there is being served a $1,000 meal, so it's not enough just to double wrap it for these two guys. You have to wrap it 100 times. So they're cutting away their wrapping, and all of these people are staring at them. And 70% of them are Jews, including Michael Bloomberg, who is a $51 billion, net worth of $51 billion. And he said to me, they were all staring at them, and many of them made their way over to them and just started schmoozing with them. With this guy, who's like a Yeshivish guy from Lakewood, the wealthiest people in the world. And one guy says, oh, I see you have a kosher meal. You know, I should also have a kosher meal. The guilt, it was so amazing because these people have everything you can possibly want in this world. And yet at this event, the guilt of why am I not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, it came out. It's amazing what he was telling me. I have to really invite him here to tell you what happened over there. The guilt. And as they went from one event to the other, everyone somehow seemed to comment about the food that they were eating, the kosher meal, and this guy has his tits out, and they don't know how to deal with it. And the one who also had a hard time dealing with it is Michael Bloomberg. He came over to them, he told me he came over to them, and he said, I see, you have kosher meal. He said, where are you? You must be from Brooklyn? And then he said to them, the part of Brooklyn where they don't teach English? That's what he said. Where they don't teach English? So this person's boss, who is a very fine Shemitah Torah Mitzvah, very tzaddik, he says, I wouldn't know, I went to public school. Which is true. He did go to public school. Now his kids are all in yeshiva. But he says, I went to public school. But the guilt, people who have everything the world can offer, they don't have tzitzis. They don't have kosher food. It drives them mad.
There's a wonderful story attributed to Rabbi Sachs from he denied
Jonathan Sachs.
John Sachs, yeah.
The Lord, the chief rabbi of
Lord. It was the royal family in London invited everybody for
a suda.
So Rabbi Sachs was invited also, and they made sure that he gets a
kosher dishes.
A TV dishes. And, the diplomatic gathering, you move around. You don't sit still. So every place he went,
he took his china
to walk around. There was one Jewish guy there, and he looks at him so disdainfully and says, you make me ashamed. But the Prince Charles,
he saw it,
and he motioned.
He was intrigued.
He says, "Come, stand next to me as to the head, and explain to me what you were doing." The other Jewish guy, saw him speaking to him, so he comes to Prince Charles and says, "I'm Jewish too."
So why are you?
So he says, "Where are you, place?"
It's true.
Protocol does not want that the Jewish to be looked at because of the food, so they have the waiters are instructed to give a special, they're given different food obviously because the guy's eating shrimp or whatever, and they get big full plates, and the waiters put it down in front of the Jews, they put out a whole different menu, and everyone looks, how come he's getting such a full plate and I'm just getting a little
kosher food. I should invite us. Kushner make everything.
Kosher kitchen. Okay, let's go further. Taras Hayadaim Kate said Rekha to the Vivat Shabakum Perik said Hayad Al Perik Hayad Lazeroya Balas. Okay, so it makes it crystal clear that the Perik that we are referring to over here is the Zeroya. all the way up until the arm. That's as far as a person should wash his hands. The person should remember to turn your hands to make sure the water touches the your entire hand.
I think that's the background maybe for what some Hasidim...
They lift their hands up to make sure the water drips
right.
down.
Yeah, that's the pasuk, Su Yedechem Kodesh. You know, lift your hands in the air. That's why the water drips down on the side.
The prop... What? The different minhagim, some hold it's a hefsek. It's a hefsek between the maisa netila and the baracha. So some do, some do not. Okay, you're supposed to make the baracha before lechatchila, before you dry your hands. Not after, for sure not. Some do it. Some do it while you're drying it. Some start to dry and they make the baracha. But I think the ideal thing is you pick up your hands. And while your hands are up, you make the bracha of netilas yodayim. Let's go further.
You rub them together?
Yeah, you say sudechem kodesh. No, that's what we just said. Some hold you should not say sudechem kodesh because that's a hefsik. Some do not. Lubavitch, they're very big into this. They say they pick up their hands and they say sudechem kodesh uvorchu es Hashem. V'yachar kach yispalel. Now notice, then after you wash your hands, then you daven. Before you daven, the person should always wash his hands. Lechatchila, a person should wash his hands before he davens mincha and before he davens ma'ariv. And a lot of the new shuls built today, they build in the Beis HaKnesses a sink. It's not just a water station. It's not just for Birchas Kohanim. It's built, it's made to wash your hands before you daven. Before you daven, a person always should wash his hands lechatchila if he can.
You didn't say shachar.
Of course, shachris.
Oh, well, free.
Of course, shachris. Everyone washes for shachris. You wash your hands at home. The assumption is that you do not touch any part of your body from the time you wash your pilas, you dine in the morning when you wake up until you come to shul. But the truth is, when you come to shul, you probably already did.
Sometimes
so nothing wrong driving a car. There's nothing wrong. As long as you do not touch a part of your body that's normally covered. So if a person washes his hands in the morning, he washes the tilas yodayim, and he does not touch any part of his body, does not go to the Beis HaKisei, does not do anything else that touch anything that's dirty, there is no need to wash your hands. Okay, that's the reason why people do not wash for mincha and they do not wash for ma'ariv. They assume they did not touch any part of their body or anything that's not clean from the last time that they washed their hands. In other words, when was the last time they washed their hands? When they went to the Beis HaKisei. Person goes to the Beis HaKisei periodically throughout the day. And the assumption is that you did not touch from the time you went to the Beis HaKisei until the time that you are davening mincha and ma'ariv, did not touch a part of your body which requires you to wash netilas yodayim again. In the event that you did, or you are not sure, you're absent-minded, then the person, of course, should wash his hands again, a full netilas yodayim, before you daven mincha and before you daven ma'ariv. Obviously, that's not the kavah minhag. The Gra went so far, not only did he wash his hands, he even recited a bracha b'shem u'malchus of netilas yodayim before mincha and before ma'ariv. The Gra washed his hands before each tefillah. And he held, you have to, it's a chiv to wash, and you have to make a bracha. We do not do that. We never make a bracha when you wash netilas yodayim before davening. In the morning, shachris, we wash netilas yodayim, not only because of davening, because you wake up in the morning. After you wake up in the morning, there's a ruach ra that is shoira on your hands, so we wash the chazal u'masakin, you should wash your hands, and should make a bracha. And then, of course, your hands are clean, it goes for shachris. But for mincha and ma'ariv, if your hands are dirty, you should wash a regular netila. Like you wash netila sometimes two times in each hand, but no baracha. That's a lechatchila.
Use a drop of water.
No, that's not good. That's the mayim achroinim. That's not my mayim achroinim is only when you eat bread. There's no washing a little bit. If you're washing your hands because your hands are dirty, you should wash a regular full netila. There's no such thing as a little, just touch the
even
sink.
In the middle of davening, some people have like a water dispenser and they just put in some water.
I'm not familiar. Maybe
because for tefillah, you don't need to make netilas.
You do need to netilas yodayim. Of course you need. What?
It's not a base kisei kavua. You don't have to.
For ketanim, you touch, but a person's ketanim, he's touching part of his body that is not clean. And he's mechuyiv to wash a netila When you wash the Asher Yotzar, so you're washing your hands. But what? With the utensil, yes, with the utensil.
A lot of people come out.
It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, but a person has to wash the Tila. Okay, let's go further. Okay, Yakach is about. Put on Tila for Mincha?
Anytime he's going to Bar Mitzvah, he's going to wash his hand to one of the person because he touched the Zeruah of the Bar Mitzvah.
The Bar Mitzvah?
No, they are going to do Bar Mitzvah to put the
person. Yes.
They are going to ask the Rabbi to do. Any Bar Mitzvah he does, he's going to wash his hand for the Mitzvah.
Because he touches the boy's arm, so he wants to go wash his hands. Correct. The Hoya Mahalach now, next Halach. Hoya Mahalach Giazman to, let's say the person was traveling around, the Giazman to Tzad Davin, the Lohoya Loimayim, and there is no water available. Hoylech Ad Makoyim Hamayim, this goes to show how far the Halach, how far it goes to Chiv to wash your hands before you daven. You have to travel up to 4 mil. A mil is a long distance. A mil is 3/4 of a mile. So you mechuyev to walk, if you're anyway traveling in that, if you're anyway traveling in that direction, you mechuyev to travel 4 mil to find water before you daven shachris. If you have to go backwards, you only have to travel 1 mil backwards to find water to wash your hands before you daven. That's how chumrah the halacha is. It's a very big chumrah. Hoyelech amach ma'amayim ruach etz yodav yachach yispalel. Hoye beinoy bein amayim yoyser midal milin. Let's say that the water is at a distance ahead of you more than 4 milin, which is about 3 miles. It's more than, and you're anyway traveling in that direction, then you don't have to travel. You can, what's the next best thing is to wipe your hands against something hard to clean it artificially. Nekaneach yadav bitzror with a pebble, or be'ofar with earth, or be'koira, or against a beam of wood, or te purel. And then you can daven. If you do not have water available, and it will take you and the next location where you'll find water is more than 3 miles ahead, you don't have to go. You potter. Just rub your hands against the surface to make sure they're clean, and that is sufficient. Kidaminan b'med v'amurim b'lefanav. And this whole halacha applies to me going forward. But let's say the closest place where you can find water is going backwards. You're not mechuyev to go back more than 1 mil, 3/4 of a mile. Aval achadav ein mechayev noesod lachso ila ad mil. Aval im ovar yoyser mi mil nekanech yedu b'tzor or b'ofar or b'kaira. But if you have to travel more than a mil backwards, you do not need to do anything, just wipe your hands. Next halacha, kisui ever. Now we go to condition number two. Condition number two is, by the way, let me just mention some halachas on the side, and that is, every single morning, the Gemara also is a person, when he wakes up in the morning, is not allowed to walk more than Dalit Amos without washing their hands. Not more than Dalit Amos. That's what all the yeshiva guys, they have a Negel Vasser by their bed. How come most of us are not makbid on this? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Poskim say is that the entire bias is considered one big virtual Dalit Amos. That's the heter. The whole bias that you live in is one big virtual Dalit Amos, so therefore you're not mechuyev, according to the letter of the law, to have at your bed a cup of Negel Vasser. Now, you need a cup. The cup has to be a kosher cup. If the cup is broken, if there's a crack in the cup, it's not a kosher cup. Just because you're very quick, you can fill up the cup and you can wash your hands fast, and then the water falls out of the cup. If there's a crack on the bottom of the cup, it would not hold the revius. It's not a kosher cup for Netilas Yordan. Most people don't know that. They think that a cup, what difference does it make? Even if there's a crack in the cup, what's the difference anyway? The crack is so small, by the time I finish washing my hands, I'm already done already. There's a requirement that there be a cup and there be a kosher. Now, if you don't have a cup, what's the next best thing to do is to turn on the faucet, open up the faucet, to use your koyach to turn the faucet on at least twice or multiple times, depending on how many times you wash your hands. It should be koyach gavra. It's also okay, gavra. In the next best thing, also, what else can you do besides washing? You can dip your hands. You have a choice. You can either wash your hands with regular water, or you can dip your hands in a mikvah, in a mikvah is sufficient. That does not. Then you make a different bracha. You make about tzvilas yadayim. No one's going to do this because the mikvah water is not clean. Because the mikvah water, you have to wash your hands after you go into the mikvah. unless you have a spring, you had a well, you have a real source of river water, then you can dip your hands, and when you dip your hands, you make a different bracha, you make the bracha of Al Tzilas Yodayim.
If the handle of the keli is broken,
it's fine. The handle is not important. The most important should not be a crack. I've seen many times where they have, oh, you have these shuls, they have the cups the sitting around a very long time, and there are cracks on the bottom of the utensil. There are real cracks.
That's why they have metal.
So it's not...
The metal is also frosted. It has to hold.
Yes, it has to hold a revius, yes. It has to hold a revius. Kisui ho'erva keitzad. Now we come to condition number two. A person has to be properly dressed. Keitzad. Now this is alvi shakisas arvasa kiderech shemachasa l'kriya shma lo yispalel achi chasa eslibo. This is a very important halacha that we have to be aware of. There's a difference between how dressed a person needs to be for Shmoyne Esrei versus all other brachas. For every bracha that a person makes, you really do not need to be covered. You don't have to be dressed. You can be wearing your swimming suit. As long as the erva is covered, a person has a swimming pool, and he wants to take a drink, he wants to eat something at a swimming pool, and only thing he has on are his swimming trunks, but the rest of his body is exposed, that's perfectly fine. You can make a bracha. Your head must be covered. You're not allowed to make a bracha unless your head is covered. Putting your hand is no good. Putting your hand on your head, you have to have something external. You can use someone else's hand, but not your hand. You can take someone else's hand and put it on your head to cover your head to make a bracha, but you cannot use your hand, or you can use any shmata you want to cover your head, and the erva must be covered, but nothing else needs to be covered. The person can make every bracha that he wants. He can even recite kriya shma. Come around to the swimming pool at Boisai, Kriya Shema is in 3 minutes. Everyone here at the swimming pool say Kriya Shema. Okay, people that go to the swimming pool before the Daven Shachris. So the hours are only from 8 to 9. And then the ladies come. So people go to the swimming pool before they go to davening. So if anyone did not say Kriya Shema yet, you can say Kriya Shema in the swimming pool. It's okay. But it's important halacha. When it comes to Davin, Shmoyne Esrei, there's a new halacha. Your chest must be covered. It's not enough to cover your erva. The chest must be covered. Now, what is it? To what degree? I don't know exactly to what degree, but I guess it means a significant...
T-shirt.
I guess the roiv of your torso must be covered for one very simple reason. It's not their cheres to be oimed lifnei hamelech. Shemoyne Esrei is different than all other parts of davening. Shemoyne Esrei, you are oimed lifnei hamelech. And that demands a much greater degree of tznius, of being dressed, than any bracha you make, including Kriya Shema. So if a person's got daven ma'ariv, so he can daven and he's not dressed, as long as he's covered, he can say Kriya Shema on all the brachas. The Kriya Shema u'bir choyseha, with a bare chest, as long as the erev is covered. But when he gets to Shmoyne Esrei, he must put on a shirt or cover himself. If he can't get out of bed, let's say Rachmana lives in the person is in bed. He can't get out of bed. And he has to daven the Kriya Shema lying down. Okay, that's fine, but he still must be covered. Because when a person davens Shmoneh Esrei, he is oimed lifnei hamelech, and that is a higher standard. Your hand? What?
You
talking about a yarmulke?
Yeah.
A person is not wearing a yarmulke.
In the hand like this. In the spoon.
In the swimming pool, Shmoneh Esrei? No, no.
A
bracha without a yarmulke is a different halacha. A person may not make a bracha gili rosh. It is forbidden to say Hashem's name.
Is not covered like this also?
With your sleeve, yes.
Sleeve, yes. Hand, no. Your hand is not called a covering. It's part of your body. Putting your hand on your head does absolutely nothing. Right. You're not going to be able to say Hashem's name with your hand on your head. If you take someone else's hand, can I borrow your hand? Can I borrow your hand?
Lend me a hand.
Lend me a hand. Right, lend me a hand. Keep your hands to yourself. Then that counts as a covering. And you can recite the bracha. If you're in the swimming pool and you want to make a bracha, your head is not covered. You can take someone else's hand and cover your head and you can make a bracha. but not your own hand.
So you do lo mehenech, you have a room.
Okay, correct. Next halacha. Now, kisa erva keitzad. Now, the imlay kisa sliba o shenenas ein veilav my sheichasa. If a person does not cover his chest, oy shenenas the imlay b'mash sheichase chol v'kisa servosa v'hispal yotza b'diavad. If you do not cover your chest when you daven the shemoyne esra yotza, avol lechatchilu lo yaase kein. Next halacha, halacha next is the taras hamakom atfila keitzad. Now, category number three, condition number three, the environment must be clean. Lo yamoid ad b'makom hati noifes v'yispalol v'lo b'merchatz miminatzdim, a place that's dirty, filthy dirty. If you see in front of you tsoa, even if you see it, even if there is no odor, it is forbidden to daven the shemoyne to daven to make a bracha in the presence if you are within sight of seeing something that is of tsoa, human waste, and even animal waste. It is forbidden to make a bracha in the presence of human or animal waste. It is forbidden to make a bracha of you in the presence of a child over the age of 3 years old who is not dressed. It is forbidden to make a bracha in the presence of a woman who is part of her body that is normally covered, is exposed. To make a bracha, if you can see them, if you are sitting in front of them, you can actually see them. You may not make a bracha. What about in front of a woman whose hair is not covered? So that is a bit more complex. A bit more complex. Generally, the answer is yes. Yes, the answer is it's not. It's permitted. The yispalel, not so simple, but that generally it's permitted. V'lo b'merchatz, v'lo b'beis akisei, not in the merchatz, and not in the you're not going to make a bracha in the merchatz. You may not make a bracha. Now we don't today have public bath houses, but we have mikvois. A mikvah has this today. The mikvois that we go to, that we use, the public mikvois I'm talking about, even the private mikvois, even the ones that probably goes. There's a place where the derech is not to be dressed. Therefore, it's a matter of the mokoyim. The mokoyim is a mokoyim, whether even if you are fully dressed, where you're not allowed to make a bracha. It's a very important halacha. If you are toivel kelim, people have kelim and become to be toivel, you make a bracha. Asher kiddushon b'mitzvayse v'tzvenu al tfilas kelim, or al tfilas kli, some on the yachid. And we are even toivel the utensil. So if you're in the store, and you go down to the basement, and there's a mikvah, so you make the bracha right then and there. But let's say you take it into a men's mikvah, so you tell the utensil, you are not allowed to make the bracha al tfilas kelim in the mikvah, in the room. Even though you are fully dressed, you're wearing your strimel and your bekasha, and there's no one else in the room. There's no one else in the room. There's no one else in the room. You're the only one there. It's brand new. Okay, brand new. Clean as a whistle. It is a makom miyuchad as a beis hamerchatz. Brand new. No one's there but you. You're fully dressed.
And you make the bracha outside.
Outside, exactly.
Then you go in.
Then you go in. You should not be masik. Exactly. You should not be hefzik. So you first of all, get everything ready. Get everything ready. And then you see, you have the mikvah. Mikvah is kosher, right? Mikvah is full, and you have access. You have access. Those people don't like it if you're in a public mikvah. People don't like it when you come in with the knives and the dangerous utensils. Very good. Well, so you go on. You make the bracha outside, and then you go. Then you make the bracha on outside, you make the bracha, and then you right away go inside and you toivel in the mikvah, so there's no hefsek between the bracha and the immersion. But the makom is a makom called the beis hamerchatz, and just like it says to you that you're not allowed to daven in the beis hamerchatz, you're not allowed to say, make a bracha in the beis hamerchatz. And the ikar hadin, you're not allowed to talk there either. Certainly not in Divrei Torah. I see this all the time. People, even they say Good Shabbos. It's not so simple to even say Good Shabbos. It's not so simple to talk in general. It's not the ideal thing to do. People, unfortunately,
you can't say Shalom Aleichem.
That's Hashem's name. Saying Shalom Aleichem. You said a Gyeres. What about a woman who goes to mikvah? So a woman who goes to mikvah, when the water itself is called a covering. Okay?
Yeah.
So when a person, men do not make a bracha when they go to mikvah. If a man were to make a bracha, women make a bracha when they're in mikvah. So I don't know all the halachas of Nashim, but basically what I understand is that if a man theoretically would make a bracha for the midst of going to mikvah, then you make the bracha right before the tvila, right before you immerse, but you're not dressed, The water is called covering. The water covers the body. The water, now what about, but the water is clear so you can see. So don't look. You don't look. As long as there are two inyanim. There's an inyan of the erva, the question though is, I don't know the answer, why is it permitted? It's still a Beis HaMerchatz. Being that it's still called the Beis HaMerchatz, how could you be permitted to make a bracha when you're in Mamash the Merchatz?
But is there specific mitzvah for that?
But it's still called the Beis HaMerchatz. Okay, obviously that's the answer. The answer is that you have to make this distinction. A woman who goes to mikvah, from what I understand, what it says is to make the bracha when they're in the mikvah. Yet, when it comes to being toivel kalim, the bracha is made outside the room, and then you come into the room. A woman does not make a bracha when she's in a different room and then go to the mikvah. It's not done like that. It's when they're in the mikvah itself, the bracha is made. Whereas a utensil, the bracha is made when you're outside. I'm assuming the difference is because the person making the bracha is not in the mikvah itself. When the person is in the mikvah itself, that's already considered to be in a different reshus. It's not really clear why it's different. A geyer who does make a bracha cannot make the bracha before their toivel because they're not yet Jewish. They can't say asher kiddushanu. So they make the bracha after they toivel. So basically, three different examples: a person, a man or a woman who makes a bracha b'zman hazeh for tefilas nida. A man never makes a bracha b'zman hazeh. You would make a bracha b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim when you retire yourself to go to the beis hamikdash to bring a carbon or for kachim. You would go to mikvah. And the truth is, there really is one of the time when a person really should make a bracha going to mikvah. And that is if when he does teshuva. Part of the process of doing teshuva is to go to mikvah. A person, Rachmana Lutzan, that was not a Shomer Shabbos, and his choizer b'shuva is mechuyev to go to mikvah. All the balei teshuva are mechuyev to go to mikvah. When they return full fledged to Yadus, part of the requirements of going to mikvah of tshuva is going to mikvah. That is the reason why, the main reason why we all go to mikvah erev Yom Kippur. We go to mikvah erev Yom Kippur not because it's a nice thing to do this tahara. We go there in order it's part of the process of doing teshuvah. Okay, let's finish up over here.
The geyer has to make the bracha outside?
No, he makes the bracha in the mikvah right after he picks up his head. He's in the mikvah, he picks up his head, he makes the bracha after he dunks. Even though normally every bracha is made over la'asiyasan, in this instance there is no choice, so you make the bracha afterwards. Let us go further. Yeah? No. Where? The Beis HaMerchatz? In the bathroom? A shower? Yeah. No. You're not allowed to listen to Divrei Torah in the bathroom. Absolutely not. A bathroom is a Beis HaMerchatz. It's not proper. Definitely not.
But the radio is inside.
So what? You're listening to Torah in a mokum that's miyuchel to be orum. It's not proper. Let's finish it very quickly. Toras mokai matvila kesa lo yamadu b'mokam v'tenev z'nispal v'loy b'merchatz lo v'esa kise v'loy b'yashna the garbage dump v'loy b'mokam shen lo l'cheskas tarat sheyid yishiv in the place that it's not assumed to be clean. The street today, question, you walk on the street today, is it b'cheskas not being cleaned?
Yes.
Probably because all the dogs, they don't go in cares today, so probably you just can't stop davin mincha today. You can't daven mincha on the street without inspecting your property to make sure there's no tzoa. Kalola shel davar kol mokam she'ein karen by kriyas shma ein mispalim bo k'shem shemachik mitzoy kach machikin mimeiraglayim umereach ra. Okay, also from meiraglayim and umereach ra, anything which is foul odor umereois erva likreis kriyas shma k'moshem machikin betzvilu kam mispalim motzatzoy bemukaymoy. Now, what happens if a person daven shmona esrei? And then after you daven Shmoyer Esher, you realize you davened at home, and then you realize there was a diaper. There was a dirty diaper right in front of you when you were davening the Shmoyer Esher. You didn't realize it. Are you mechuyev to daven the Shmoyer Esher all over again? Hoyel v'chota shloi boda kodem sheyis hispalel yachzor v'yispalel b'mokon tohar. You're punished. If a person has little children, and it's expected that there are going to be dirty diapers in the room where he's davening, and he failed to make that inspection, he's guilty. He's negligent.
And the kids come later.
And therefore, if a person davenes the Shemoneh Esrei, he has to daven the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. However, but let's say it's not your fault. Let's say I had no idea. I never expected there to be anything over here. Then you're not. Only if you were negligent. How you oymed betfilah v'rot v'rot soik, and let's say you're in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, and lo and behold, you discover something in the corner of your eye. If you can go, walk. Don't stand where you're. You want to walk in the Shemon, in the middle of the Shemon Esrei for a need. If you can get up and you can move, walk where the item is 4 amos behind you, and you do not see it. Yelech. If not, yisalekena litzadim. Throw it in the garbage. You're in the middle of Shemon Esrei, and now you realize that there's a dirty diaper in front of you. So, and this, what are you going to do? So, stop your Shemona Esrei, pick up the diaper, throw it in the garbage. So, take it up in a way where you don't touch it, okay, with the tissue, and you throw it in the garbage, and then go back and resume your Shemona Esrei. No harm done. If not, yafsik. Okay, then comes condition number 4. Which is going to be too long for now, so we're going to stop and take a break, and then we'll talk about something from the parasha.
Using the tefillin, how we can't touch the diaper? How we can't touch it?